Continuing with Alice, it can be regarded as a stroke of genius on Hitler's part that for purposes of projection he offered the Jews to the Germans, who had been brought up to be self-controlled and obedient and to suppress their feelings. But the use of this mechanism is by no means new. It can be observed in most wars of conquest, in the Crusades and in the Inquisition, as well as in recent history. Little attention has been paid up to now to the fact that what is called child rearing is based for the most part on this mechanism, and that consequently the exploitation of this mechanism for political purposes would be impossible without this kind of upbringing. And my comment, and let's not forget the complete and total correspondence that Alice showed us in the excerpts from the Poisonous Pedagogues between their methods for creating perfect, that is to say, perfectly obedient citizens and making the perfect state, i.e. the invention of child rearing was a conscious political strategy. Continuing, characteristic of these examples of persecution is the presence of a strong narcissistic element. A part of the self is being attacked and persecuted here, not a real and dangerous enemy, as, for example, in situations when one's life is actually threatened. Child-rearing is used in a great many cases to prevent those qualities that were once scorned and eradicated in oneself from coming to life in one's children. In his impressive book, Soul Murder, Persecution in the Family, Morton Schatzman shows the extent to which the child-rearing methods advocated by Daniel Gottlob Moritz Schreber, a renowned and influential pedagogue of the mid-19th century, were based on the need to stifle certain parts of one's own self. What Schreber, like so many parents, tries to stamp out in his children is what he fears in himself. Quote from Daniel Gottlob Moritz Schreber. The noble seeds of human nature sprout upwards in their purity almost of their own accord if the ignoble ones, the weeds, are sought out and destroyed in time. The weeds, he's saying, of human nature, whatever that is. Of course, he's going to break it down. This must be done, he says, ruthlessly. I'm sorry, I was channeling never mind. This must be done ruthlessly and vigorously. It is a dangerous and yet frequent error to be put off guard by the hope that misbehavior and flaws in a child's character will disappear by themselves. The sharp edges and corners of one or the other psychic flaw may possibly become somewhat blunted, but left to themselves, the roots remain deeply embedded, continuing to run rampant in poisonous impulses, and thus preventing the noble tree of life from flourishing as it should. A child's misbehavior will become a serious character flaw in the adult and opens the way to vice and baseness. Suppress everything in the child. Keep everything away from him that he should not make his own, and guide him perseveringly toward everything to which he should habituate himself, unquote. The desire, says Alice, for true nobility of soul justifies every form of cruelty toward the fallible child, and woe to the child who sees through this hypocrisy. The pedagogical conviction that one must bring a child into line from the outset has its origin in the need to split off the disquieting parts of the inner self and project them onto an available object. The child's great plasticity, flexibility, defenselessness, and availability make it the ideal object for this projection. The enemy within can at last be hunted down on the outside. Peace advocates are becoming increasingly aware of the role played by these mechanisms, but until it is clearly recognized that they can be traced back to methods of child raising, little can be done to oppose them. For children who have grown up being assailed for qualities the parents hate in themselves can hardly wait to assign these qualities to someone else, so they can once again regard themselves as good, moral, noble, and altruistic. Such projections can easily become part of one's Weltanschauung. And that concludes the chapter, Poisonous Pedagogy. And as we have not yet reached our object, her recommendations for countermanding and ultimately uprooting entirely the hideous obedience utilitarianism training of class, the insidious obedience utilitarianism training of class, as we build our alternative to it, let's continue on a bit until we feel we have what we need in hand.